The first scripture lesson today is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." Here ends the first reading.
Our gospel reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 39a. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard John say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said back to Jesus, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Jesus said to them, "Come and see." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we skip forward a bit in our narrative lectionary from Moses and the Israelites wandering in the desert last week to a time when the Israelites have been living in the promised land for several generations. From Moses' brother Aaron, the first high priest, a line of high priests has descended to Eli, who is responsible for looking after the Ark of the Covenant where the Ten Commandments are kept. Now, Eli is getting on in years and is attended by the boy Samuel, Andy wanted to know about how old Samuel was at the time, and one of the contemporary historians from that era estimates that Samuel was about 11 years old, so the age of some of you who are listening. And Samuel had been dedicated by his mother, Hannah, to God's service because she had prayed and longed for this baby for a long time. And so Samuel has grown up in the temple or in the sanctuary and is caring for and helping out Eli. So in this morning's reading, Samuel hears God's voice, but scripture tells us that visitations from God were rare in those days. So perhaps Samuel, like Jerry in the movie clip we saw earlier, doesn't think that God makes house calls because Samuel assumes the voice he hears must be Eli, the high priest, calling out for assistance in the middle of the night. But Eli eventually figures out that it's God's voice that Samuel is hearing, and so he tells the young boy to go and listen. Samuel responds to God's call saying, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It's kind of like Bible speak for "at your service." But what Samuel ends up hearing is not a message he wants to deliver. Have you ever had to deliver a message or share a decision you've made or set a boundary and you've been reluctant to do so because you were afraid it would not be well received? I know I have. Maybe you faced the particularly difficult situation that Samuel did of having to share a hard truth with someone you love and respect, a mentor or a hero of yours. You might have thought of a million reasons why it would be better, or at least easier, not to say anything, or a million ways you could dodge having to be the one to bear the bad news, or maybe you put off saying what needed to be said over and over again until you were swamped by anxiety and stress. Yet when God has given us a message to share, not something that we've kind of ginned up ourselves because we want to score points or prop ourselves up, but when something deeply true wells up inside of us, something we may even know is true because it is difficult to share, sharing it will bring about a writing of relationship, a writing of relationship between ourselves and others, between us and our truest selves, between us and God. That may seem like a funny claim when Samuel's message is that God is going to punish Eli and his family by taking away the priesthood from them. Divine punishment doesn't seem like writing a relationship, but it helps to know a little bit of the context here, the backstory. Eli's sons, as Barbara read in our scripture, they were priests in their own right who were in charge of the sanctuary at Shiloh, and they had been grossly abusing their office. They had been picking out the best parts of the sacrifice for themselves. They had been fornicating with sanctuary servants, and they'd been talking trash about God. So Eli had slapped them on the wrist, but he hadn't done anything substantial to curb their behavior or remove them from leadership. So God stripped them of their priestly power. And they met their end not too long after that in battle. God cleaned house, so to speak, in order to put someone in charge who was righteous and just, someone with a heart after God's own heart, to restore a person of integrity to the highest office in the land. So while this is certainly a blow to Eli, who loves his sons, even as he laments their terrible behavior, he also accepts it as a restoring of right relationship between God and God's servants and between the people and their spiritual leaders. You know, in our modern day context, we need only think of sports coach or clergy sexual abuse scandals or the abuses of power in high political office to see how righting wrongs and healing deep hurts can only proceed once the offenders have been removed from their positions. In biblical times and now, right relationships require justice. All the same, knowing that it's right or that it has to happen for relationships to be restored doesn't necessarily make it any easier when we're the ones who need to speak a hard truth or when we're the ones who need to hear it. My husband, Chris, and I were talking about this scripture last week. That's one of the perks of being married to a pastor, is you always have someone to toss around sermon ideas with. He shared a story about a time when he heard a not so lovely truth that righted a relationship. He was working as an associate pastor in a church when a new staff person was brought on board to take care of the church's finances. Marie, as I'll call her, Marie was very skilled and a hard worker, and Chris was glad to have her as a coworker, although at first she seemed a bit reserved and he couldn't quite figure out how to establish camaraderie with her. A few weeks in, he went to Marie with a request for some funds to be released for a youth group trip. It was a new expense that had come up that he hadn't anticipated, and there was a pretty tight turnaround to get checks cut and sent off to the right people to make sure reimbursements happened. Well, Marie was in the middle of another deadline, and she silently stressed about it for a while before coming to Chris and saying she just couldn't make it happen that fast. That just because it seemed like a simple thing to do to him didn't mean she could drop everything else to take care of it, and that she needed more lead time in the future. Chris said he could tell how nervous she was to have this conversation. After all, she was new, and he was one of the pastors, and there were gender and race dynamics in there too. But she said what she needed to say. And he heard in her words where he'd been thoughtless and assumed when he shouldn't have. So he apologized and let her know he would do better in the future. And from that point on, what's really interesting is that he and Marie had a better relationship. She began to share more of herself with him, to open up more and to talk about her hopes and dreams for work and for her personal life, because she knew she could trust him. She had said a hard truth. He had listened and responded, and their relationship not only righted, but became deeper because of it. Author and activist Glennon Doyle, too, tells the story of sharing a hard truth. In this case, it was when she told her mom that she was in love with the woman who would become her wife. Her mom was supportive in theory, but afraid of what would happen to Glennon's family. What about the kids? What will their classmates say? You know, the world can be such a cruel place, and I just care about you, and I'm worried. She was shaken, Glennon writes, and that started to shake me. My mom's fear started to pull me away from my knowing. Maybe you've had that experience of someone you love sharing a decision with them or something that's happening in your life, and you think they're going to be supportive, and then all of a sudden their worries out of love start to eat you up. So this was pulling Glennon away from the truth that the spirit was growing deep inside her. So after weeks of going back and forth, trying to explain herself to her mother, Glennon decided to trust herself. She decided to trust the beautiful love that she and Abby shared. And she decided it was time to share that message of love, that message from God, with her mother. So when her mom asked to come visit her grandkids, Glennon, with gentleness and a little bit of trepidation, refused. You are still afraid, Mom. And you can't bring that to us because our children, they're not afraid. We raise them to understand that love and truth in any form are to be honored and celebrated. They haven't learned the fear you carry, and I won't have it taught to them through your voice and in your eyes. Is this path the easiest? She went on. Of course not, but it's the truest one. And we are making a true and beautiful family and home. And I hope with all of my heart that one day soon you will be able to come enjoy it. When you are ready to bring nothing but wild acceptance and joy and celebration for our true, beautiful family. Well, her mom was silent for a bit. They were really close. And I think that was really hard for her mom to hear that she couldn't come and be with her grandkids. Then she said she needed time to think about what her daughter had said. It took several months, but eventually her mom worked through her fear and she did come to visit. Her ability to support and celebrate with Glennon and her family, enriching and strengthening their bonds. Eli accepted Samuel's message with good grace, just as Chris accepted Marie's and Glennon's mom eventually accepted hers. But there are certainly times when we speak up and things don't go so well. Maybe the person to whom we deliver the message blows up or cuts off contact or threatens to retaliate in some way. Or maybe it simply hurts their feelings and makes our hearts ache too. Whatever their response though, if our message is rooted in God's love and God's desire for integrity and dignity and wholeness and thriving for us and for our world, then our job isn't to take the message back, no matter how strong the temptation is. Our job is to stand firm in what we know to be right, the truth we know deep in our bones that God has given us. Whether it's setting a boundary with a loved one or a coworker, whether it's telling the truth about abuse that happened long ago, but that won't heal until it's shared, whether it's standing against an unethical or unfair decision in our community or our job, whether it's speaking up when someone is being harassed in public, our job is to trust God that our delivering the message will right the relationship, even if it first disrupts it in the process. Because while a relationship where no one speaks the truth may seem to be conflict-free, that's only because the conflict is festering beneath the surface, where it will ultimately cause more damage to the people trying to keep the peace, like Eli was trying to keep the peace by letting his sons continue to lead. God's messages for us aren't meant to be buried deep inside. As Samuel learned, even when they are hard to say aloud, they are meant to be shared. May we, with God's help, have the courage to speak God's message aloud, especially when it might be hard for others to hear. Amen. Whether you are feeling like Samuel this week, or in this season of life, that there's something that you know inside to be true that you have to say outside, you're not looking forward to it, or whether you're Eli and you suspect there might be something you need to hear from someone that just is not going to feel good when they say it, know that God is with you. God's grace will carry you through both experiences, and God will help to right that relationship, whether it's here or whether it's in the hereafter. God will see you through. Go in peace.